our Monday Atlanta United recap with 92.9 The Game soccer analyst Jason Longshore on Dukes and Bell.
All right, our United get another big W at Mercedes-Benz over the weekend. Roof was open, and Jason Longshore was there, along with our man Mike Conti, bringing you the call right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Coming up, guys, we'll talk about the NFL, the latest in our NFL blitz, including what's up with Gronkowski. But right now, we say good afternoon to our man Jason Longshore. Jason, Mike and I were having this discussion. Want to get your thoughts on it. 70 minutes, you're playing 11-on-9, and our scoring opportunities and chances, you would have thought, at least I did, that we might have scored more goals than what we did, but we didn't.
You know, it's interesting when you start to dig into it, and there's an advanced stat that I'm not always fully on board with. It's called expected goals, XG.
Okay.
When those numbers came out, it said that Atlanta should have scored 4.96 goals with the chances they had. So not too far off. Not as much as I kind of thought watching it live, and definitely not as much as you know, like I've been talking to people since the game, and people are frustrated about missing chances. I kind of didn't feel like the chances were as good as the New England match. I think Matt Turner played really well in goal for the Revolution. Andre Blake's a great goalkeeper. He wasn't tested in the same way. The chance quality wasn't quite as good on Saturday night.
You know, Jason, it is so strange, and you've told us before about when you have the red card situation, how now it's literally, definitively, you're parking the bus in front of the net, so some of those opportunities become more difficult. It just seems like when Gressel's bringing the ball down the side, I guess the analogy I was using earlier is like transition. When we get into almost like attacking, and it's almost like we're not as good when we're static as opposed to when we're on the move.
Yeah, 100%. That's actually a great way to look at it. This team plays better on the run, and I think the second half against New England was a prime example of that. The problem Saturday night, and it's just human nature. You know, you have guys who played Wednesday, traveled Thursday, had a light training session, probably not all of them even took part in on Friday. Then you're turning around and playing Saturday. You get two red cards in 20 minutes, you let up. You know, you get a chance to rest in the game a little bit, knowing you have Open Cup coming up and a trip to New York, then a trip to Columbus. So you just naturally let up a little bit, and it's all about the 3 points. It's not about the style points. It's just all about seeing out the win.
What did you make of the red cards that were given out? Did you think they should have happened the way they did? I mean, listen, we're not cheering for the other squad, but you see that take place. And Mike and I have said, again, what was said to cue the ref to make sure that he was ready to give that red card. How did you see that whole scenario playing out?
You know, it's funny. I was talking to a good referee friend of mine, and I think Mike actually nailed what was said by Madunyanin. That's my understanding of what was said, and my limited lip reading abilities. That's kind of where my head was at too. The Bedoya one was interesting because you go back and you look at the whole situation. The call's made. Philadelphia is trying to delay it so the video assistant referee can chime in, say you need to look at it, whatever. Stojan Stojka, the referee, was very clear in saying, no, that's it. No more, we're taking the penalty. And he even, when you go back and look at the replay, at one point at the end of this, he points at his chest where he has the yellow card in his pocket.
Right.
He points at that, and he puts his arms out and says, no more. And then after all of it, when Joseph is getting ready to take the penalty, Bedoya steps into the arc. I've also heard that Bedoya might have said some things that led to that second yellow. It might not have even been stepping in. It might have been some things he said.
Right.
But his is bad enough. The Madunyanin one, there's no excuse for. And his actions, which there were lots of them in that whole sequence, Philadelphia might not have Harris Madunyanin for a number of games going forward.
Yeah, it was pretty, if you didn't see it, he's pushing, he's shoving, and it was kind of funny because where we were sitting, it was almost like there were even some United players like trying to like, hey, come on, dude, seriously. You know, I mean, it's
Jeff Lorenowitz was right there.
Yeah,
Lorenowitz put his hands on him, like trying to help him.
Right, and that's my wife pointed that. I was like, wow, you see the replay, it's pretty wild. So getting back to the offenses, Jason Longshore is with us here, guys. He and Mike, of course, have the call. We got that game. We'll talk about U.S. Cup, the battery up in Kennesaw, and then a couple games on the road. What about the flow with Barco, Miggy? I mean, what has to change? Is that something that Tata, is it just simply feel that these guys are still getting to know and how they can function in the offense together? Or what am I missing?
Here's something I'll take away from Saturday. You saw when the red cards happened, Atlanta changed the formation up and went to a 4-2-3-1. kind of alternating different ways of doing it. Gressel was the number 10 at points. Barco was the 10 at points. Almiron slid out to the left wing. It didn't click as well. I think the 4-2-3-1, which we saw most of last season, maybe isn't the best shape if Tito Villalba is not available. Okay. I think when he is available, it can work. And then the question is, do you play Barco as the 10 or do you play him on the wing? And then do you play Almiron as the 10? The personnel shift is the question here. The other thing about Saturday night too, and you know, this is not a knock on the as a player, but Ezequiel Barco struggled. He just had an off night. He wasn't in sync. He wasn't connecting. You know, this is a guy who lost his first he came in late in preseason because of the transfer drama. Then he had the injury at the end of preseason and had to start over again fitness-wise. And he's been playing a lot of games, a lot of minutes in a row. It looked like it took its toll on him. And Saturday night, he just wasn't sharp.
It is our man, Jason Longshore. Follow him at Longshoe on the Twitter. Here on Dukes and Bell, talking about our Atlanta United. Let's talk about this U.S. Open Cup and what it means for our club. For the average guy out there who may go, all right, wait a minute, they're playing MLS, but now they're going to play in this U.S. Open Cup up in Kennesaw. What is all of this, Jason?
So this is a big deal. This is the cup competition that every team in the country can enter. And the reason it's a big deal is if you win it, you go into the CONCACAF Champions League for next year. And Darren Eales has been very clear from day one when he was hired that this is a club in Atlanta United that is being built to compete on the world stage. Mm-hmm. The way you get to the world stage is you get into the Champions League and CONCACAF, you win that, and you go to the FIFA Club World Cup. And no MLS team in the current format of the CONCACAF Champions League has done that. Toronto lost in the final in penalties this year. So the club wants Atlanta to be the club that does that for the first time and gets to go play a Barcelona or a Real Madrid in a competitive match, not a friendly for fun, but a real competitive match. So it starts with the Open Cup, and it's the quickest way in. You win six matches, you're going to the CONCACAF Champions League, and it starts against the Charleston Battery. The flip side of that is the Charleston Battery are in the second division. This is the biggest match they'll play all season. Okay. And it's a team that takes the Open Cup very seriously. They're the last lower division team to make it to the final in 2008, where they lost to DC United. So this is a club that basically it's like your classic NCAA tournament matchup where you get the small school against the big school and the small school has nothing to lose.
Right.
And they're letting it all hang out in that match.
It is kind of neat, though, the history of it, like where you have like guys, was it the one, Jason, where it was like a bunch of guys in a bar in Baltimore come together and they're playing. I mean, so basically it's almost any organized team, not to oversimplify it, can play in this competition or has to qualify for it.
Yeah, you have to go into qualifying. So actually, late last year, you had the qualifiers for the local amateur teams. And a club here in Atlanta that plays in the Atlanta District Amateur Soccer League, Majestic, they entered. And they beat a team from Charleston, South Carolina in the first round. They went up to Nashville and lost to a club from Nashville in the second round. So you have all these great stories that emerge from it. The team you're thinking of, Christos FC, they were a club of a lot of former college guys who played in the Maryland area, and their sponsor is the Christos Liquor Store in Maryland.
Cool. I mean, it's kind of a neat story, but, I mean, they do this over in, I guess, in England. It's the FA Cup? Is that how it would be?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah,
where
the equivalent of that.
Gotcha.
How many starters? What's the lineup going to look like, do you think, on Wednesday?
One thing to keep in mind about Open Cup is you can only have five internationals in your game day 18-man roster. So Atlanta United has nine players that are classified as international players. They don't have a green card. And that's going to be a little tricky. I think you're going to see some starters rested. I think you're going to see the guys who didn't start on Saturday but were in the 18, guys like Brandon Vasquez, Kevin Kratz, Andrew Carlton, I think they'll start. And I think you might see a couple guys come up from ATL UTD too who have had good seasons because you can call up the USL players for the Open Cup. So a player like Jose Carranza, who's had a great season so far there, guys who are on loan from the first team like Lagos Kunga, who has a goal of the week and he's played great in USL, he might get the start. John Gallagher, the first round draft pick, he scored a lot of goals in USL this season. He might get the start. So it'll be a little bit of a mixed lineup on Wednesday night.
Jason, it's always good to talk with you, man. Great analysis. And we look forward to hearing you on Wednesday, by the way. You and Mike will have the call of that game as well. So thanks again for jumping on.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.